Let's pray a blessing over the word as we begin this morning, as we continue in our current series that we're in this series right now called Love Like That. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this time together this morning. And Lord, we just want to slow down and we just want to pause at the beginning of a new week. And Lord, we just want to take in your presence. How many people had a busy week? Just say, I. A lot of people. I got to commend you today. I really do. I commend you for making time to come into God's house. It would have been easy to sleep in today. It would have been easy to do a lot of other things, but you made a priority to come into God's house. I really want to stop and commend all the parents who made sure that your kids were here this morning. You sent a great message today to your kids. You sent a message that we prioritize, we value the house of God. And I just want to say, I applaud you this morning. So God, we just wait here in your presence and just ask your blessing upon this time. And we just thank you for each one that's here this morning. And Lord, I just pray a blessing over their lives. I pray for their welfare. I pray for marriages. I pray for kids, families. I pray for people in their workplaces that your blessing would be upon them. God, I just pray favor. I pray your favor over people today. May we be people who are marked by your blessing and your favor. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Thank you for being here today. So look at your neighbor and just say, great job. Great to see you this morning. Somebody said, oh, let's not do that. Okay, let's move on. So love like that. What we're doing in this series is we're simply looking at five different qualities of love that we see and we witness in the life of Jesus. And by the way, our goal is to make sure that we take these five qualities and that we put them into practice. We put them into practice with family. We put them into practice with those here this morning. We put them into practice with friends, co-workers, and yes, even strangers. So we're looking at Jesus. We're looking at how he loved. And we want to become that as we go out and live life, okay? So the theme verse is an amazing verse, and it comes from Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. I want to read it to you. I want to break it down. Paul writes this. He said, okay, folks, do this. He said, observe how Christ loved us. Stop and observe how Christ loved us. His love was not cautious, but his love was extravagant. Paul goes on to say, he didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give of himself to us. And then Paul concludes by saying, love like that. So our goal in this series is that we would go and we would begin to love people the same way that Jesus loved us. That we love people not to get from them, but we love people to give. And man, if that's all we heard this morning and we put that into practice, our relationships would be such a great increase of quality. Just loving to give, not to get, okay? So we began this journey 2 weeks ago, and we talked about the first thing that Jesus did in his love is he was mindful. How many people were here for mindful? Just raise your hand, mindful. And we said mindful is when we just take the time to stop and we begin to look and we begin to really pay attention to what's going on around us. There's people right around us. Some people are super close and they're hurting. They have pain going on in their life. And what happens is we get so busy. We have our personal agendas that we miss what's going on in those that we love even the most. Does that make sense? So we challenge you in week one that you need to learn how to hit the pause button and we need to put aside our personal agendas so that we can stop and look what's going on in other people's lives. Because we're all busy. We all have agendas, but we got to stop. We got to look at others because we're not here to get, we're here to give, okay? So what we want to do today is we want to take our step, week one, we looked at mindful. Today we want to take our second step, our second look of what was the quality of how did Jesus live. And our word today is this word. Everybody say it together if you would. The word is approachability. Approachability, okay? So let's begin our journey this morning. I just want to define this word to make sure that we're all on the same page, the word approachability. And what I'm going to do for the next few minutes is I'm just going to define this word, but I want to challenge you. I hope you're up for a challenge this morning. And my challenge for you this morning is this. When I'm reading to you the definition of approachability, I want every one of us, I challenge you, I double dog dare you, okay? I challenge you to ask yourself this question. Am I approachable? Is everybody ready? Say, let's go. So I want you to ask yourself, am I approachable? Okay? So let's look at this word. What does it mean? Approachable simply means to be friendly. Friendly people, approachable people, easy to talk to. Okay? Easy to talk to. And I'm not just referring about some of the time. I'm talking about a majority of time. And I'm not only talking about certain people, because there are certain people, we all would agree, there's certain people it's very easy to be friendly and easy to talk to. They're called our favorites. But when we talk about approachability, we're talking about everyone. People who come in our lives each and every day, we're approachable, we're friendly, easy to talk to. Approachability, other words that would define that mean you're welcoming. It means you're pleasant. So are these things describing you? Congenial, cordial, open, hospitable, you're helpful, you're accessible. That's what it means to be approachable. By the way, as I was preparing for this message this week, I found some very interesting information about being approachable that I want to share with you just for a few minutes before we look into the Bible, okay? By the way, being approachable can be as easy as this. So everybody, on the count of three, by the way, how many people grew up when I grew up and there was a show on TV called Fantasy Island? Does anybody remember that show? Mr. York would stand on the banks of the island and the plane would be coming in, people who were going to have their fantasies met. Does anybody remember what Mr. York said? Anybody? Smiles, everybody, smiles. That's what he would say. So everybody, on the count of three, look at your neighbor and say, smile. Okay. I'm going to share some information to you in the power of a smile. Studies show that people think they already know someone if that person smiles at them, even if it's an absolute stranger. Case in point, one of the many snow days we had this year, we had to get out of the house, okay? So I said, let's go down to Culver's, surprise, surprise, okay? And we went down to Culver's, and it was a buzz. You know, it's about the second or third week that they were open. The manager's flying around. He's just going to every table, and he's greeting people. He's asking them how they're doing. And he came to our table, and he said, I know that I've met you guys before. I said, dude, we've never met before. And here's what I discovered. The reason why he thought he knew us is because we were smiling. By the way, how can you not smile when you're eating a double cheddar cheeseburger, right? That just causes you to smile as your arteries are being backed up, okay? So when he saw us smiling, he had just assumed that he knew us. And actually, he was a very smiley person, so I came back with the same thing. I swear I know you too. And really what it's all about is when they say that if you just approach somebody, even a stranger, with a smile, they think they know you just because you smile. So I want to encourage you, if you get nothing else out of this message this morning, before we even open the Bible, I guarantee you can prove the quality of your life just by smiling, right? Okay, let's move on. Some people don't want to hear about smiling this morning. I refuse to smile, okay? They say this, more information, even a fleeting smile has the capacity, they say, to burrow deep into the subconscious of a person who sees it, and it begins to set off positive changes within. So your smile begins to set off positive changes within people. They said, for example, listen to this, it's incredible. A smile of just 0.4 seconds. Can you muster that? Can you do that? 0.4 seconds is enough to produce minimal emotional high in others. It makes people see things around them in a more positive light. Meaning this, you can make somebody else's day better simply by doing what? Everybody together, show me your pearly whites, smiles. By the way, I want to talk to all the greeters, all the ushers. If you don't get anything else right, get something out of this message. When people are coming into the church, everybody say, smile, okay? people are going to think this is a greater church than it really is. You know what I mean? If we just smile, okay? So I probably didn't come out the way I wanted to, but smile, okay? Good. Couple more things. I hope I'm not boring you with smiling, but I think it's important that we learn this. In one study, when participants were exposed to the smiles, even though they couldn't remember seeing them, their own faces mirrored what they saw. When they saw other people smile, they responded how? With a smile. So here's how it works. Wednesday night, we're eating dinner downstairs. I'm sitting across the table from two middle school girls. We're eating pizza together, just the three of, well, there's other people, but I'm with just sitting across from them. And I asked the girls this question. I said, okay, girls, how was your day? Okay? And I said, okay, on a scale of 1 to 10, my family hates when I do this, by the way. On a scale of 1 to 10, I said, a 10 being a great day, a 1 just being a poor day, how was your day? And the girl looked at me and she said, 1.4. I'm like, are you kidding me? So I said to her, try some. Smile. Just smile. And you get to see just the smile. So everybody right now, I just want to, can we have engagement here this morning? Is this okay to engage? We're a smaller church. It's what we do. Everybody just give us, let me see your best smile. And I'm going to point you out if you don't. 1, 2, 3. Everybody smile. Well, you guys, look at it. Looks, you guys look all the better just by smiling. One last fact about smiling, and we'll move on to a Bible message, okay? By the way, I think Jesus smiled. Come on. I think we need to get rid of this image in our mind. Don't you love that picture? I Googled that. I don't know if it was smiling Jesus or laughing Jesus. Actually, years ago, I gave my dad that picture for his birthday. And he still has it in a plaque on his wall. Because I think people need to see that Jesus was approachable. He was smiler. You know what I mean? One last fact, and I'm getting a little out of order, but that's okay. You may think that facial expressions simply reflect your feelings, but to some extent, they cause your feelings as well. So this is what that means. That means you may be having a bad day. How many people know you have the ability to change your bad mood by simply, I mean, taking every effort you have just to put a smile on your face? They say that that outward smile can begin to change the inward feelings that you have. So I want to encourage us all to be smiling. Let's be like Jesus, okay? Because Jesus is our role model. That's what we're striving for, Romans 8:29. We want to be more like Christ. And I want to let you know this morning, when you look at Jesus, you see someone who was the epitome of approachable. And I want to let you know that we could go through story after story, dozens of stories throughout the New Testament, throughout the Gospels, that showed how Jesus was somebody that was very, very approachable. People liked him. People wanted to be with him. I want to show three examples. Number one is this example. Jesus was approachable with children. With children. Don't look in your Bible, but we're going to look at Luke 18, verses 15 and 16. You need to understand the context. Jesus is getting near the end of his life, his earthly ministry, his life on earth. He just had a few weeks to live, so I'm sure there was a lot on his plate. I'm sure there was a lot of emotion. But look at what happened in those last days. Let's read it together. It says, one day, some parents brought their children to Jesus so that he could touch and he could bless them. But check out the disciples. But when the disciples saw this, they scolded the parents. Don't bother Jesus with your kids. In verse 16, look at what Jesus does in response. It says, then Jesus called for the children, and he said to the disciples, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. Don't stop them. So what we see here, if Jesus would have been someone who was cold, a frown on his face, I don't think the kids would have felt like they could approach. I'm sure the parents wouldn't have said, hey, can we bring our kids? But Jesus was approachable. Actually, this is what I see in my mind when I read this verse. Isn't that what you see? That's how kids saw Jesus. We can go and we can have a good time with Jesus. And he says, hey, don't let the kids, bring them, let them come. We're going to have a good time together. So let me ask you this question. These kids felt that they could approach Jesus. Let me ask you the question. Do people feel comfortable enough to approach you? Do people feel comfortable enough to approach me? And we're going to hear that same question in different forms throughout this message. Are you approachable? Are you approachable? Second group of people that saw Jesus as approachable, witnessed his approachability, were the tax collectors and the sinners. Let's look at a few verses. It said, then Jesus went out to the lake shore again, and he taught the crowds. By the way, the crowds, that means he's approachable. A lot of people were coming, that were coming to him. Verse 14, as he walked along, he saw Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at his tax collector's booth. Follow me, be my disciples, Jesus said to him. So Levi got up. I mean, he left a very lucrative career behind. He got up and he followed him. Verse 15, later, we're not sure how much later, Levi invited Jesus and his disciples to his home. He had a big house. He was rich. As a dinner guest, along with many tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. Look what it says in parentheses. There were many people of this kind among Jesus' followers. Verse 16, but when the teachers of religious law, the religious people, the staunch, who were Pharisees, they saw him eating with the tax collectors and other sinners, they asked his disciples this question, why does he eat with such scum? By the way, I think if we would have been there that day, we might have asked the same question. I think we throw these people under the bus too often. Because I know, for me speaking, that I could be put in their category from time to time in my life. When we see people that are different than us, we see people that are less than us, we see people that the rest of society looks down upon, the troubled people, the people that cause problems. And we could be just like them, and we say, Jesus, why do you eat with such scum? But here's the thing about Jesus, he saw these people differently. When Jesus looked on these people, he saw them through eyes of love. And I tell you what, when you see through eyes of love, that results in you becoming approachable to those people. So let me ask you the question again, are you approachable? Let's look at one last group. By the way, I love this picture. The modern day Jesus being hanging out with guys with tattoos and people with headbands, just the crowd. And you know, I really think about Jesus. What would it look like in his context today? Who would he be hanging out with? Everybody. He'd be hanging out with people that would make us really nervous. Jesus, why are you hanging out with those people? Because I love people. And because I love people, I'm approachable. Are you approachable? One last group. You might be surprised, but Jesus was approachable by women. We could read about this in Luke chapter 10, verse 39 through 42. We see that Jesus one day was invited to the home of two sisters. The two sisters' names were Mary and Martha. They were the sisters of, their brother was Lazarus, the one Jesus raised from the dead. And you might ask, well, what's the big deal of Jesus asking these women? Well, you need to understand that in that culture, religious leaders, rabbis, they frowned upon women. They really did. In fact, history tells us that women were not allowed to testify in legal cases. The reason why was that they were viewed as unreliable witnesses. That's how culture looked at women that in those days, especially religious people. The rabbis, this may surprise you, the rabbis even said a prayer often, and in their prayer they would thank God that they weren't women. How's that make you feel? Not good. Yet women, they found no such contempt in Jesus. Many would approach him. And many were eager to come and be in his presence. Many were eager to come and learn. Many were eager to come and serve. So what I want you to see here today is that Jesus loved people. He loved people by showing the fact that he was approachable. And we see this in so many different ways. He was approachable to rich people. He was approachable to poor people. He was approachable to educated people. He was approachable to uneducated. If you were sick or you were healthy, he was approachable. If you were loved by other people or you were unloved, like Matthew, he was very approachable. Even when it came to choosing his disciples, if it was us choosing who do we want to carry on our legacy, we would go out and we would go and choose the people that look like us, that got everything put together. They got it all together. They dot all the I's, cross all the T's. But when it came to Jesus, he sought out people that in that day were lowly laborers. These were people that were fishermen. These were even a corrupt tax collector. See, Jesus loved people. He loves us. He loves you. And Jesus is very, very approachable. So my thought here this morning, if we're going to love like Jesus, we got to learn to do a better job about being approachable. Approachable. Okay? So I want to ask you, if you don't mind, one more time, I want to ask the question, and I really want you to be gut honest with yourself, and I've had all week to reflect on this because I've been thinking about it for the last 5 days. And I want to ask you today, are you approachable? Are you approachable? And if you say yes, let me follow that up. I got a follow-up question for you. And the follow-up question is, would other people around you agree? Because if I were to be honest with you, I would think there is an aspect of me that I'm approachable. Yeah, I think I'm approachable. But I really kind of had someone just put it in my face several months ago that said, Mike, it said it in different words, but it really this is what it meant. You're not always that approachable. How many people know when you hear that, you're like, oh, ouch, that's painful, man. But as I look on my life, I know that there's certain people that I'm just like you. I'm big fans of those people. It's easy to be approachable, but there's other people. And it's not always that easy to be friendly, and it's not always that easy to be approachable. And Jesus is calling us to be approachable to everyone. He's calling us to live life differently in his kingdom, okay? So I know we all have struggles with this, with being approachable. So the question I want to just address for like the next 5 minutes is this: what keeps us from being approachable? And to answer this question, what I want to do is I want to refer back to one of the primary sources I'm using for this series. It's the book called Love Like This, and it's written by a guy named Dr. Les Parrott. And he gives a one-word answer to why he thinks people aren't approachable. It's one-word answer, and this is why Dr. Parrott believes a lot of us aren't approachable from time to time, and it's the word pride. Pride. Think about that. I think it took me a while to digest what he was getting at, so I want to try to bring clarity to what he's talking about. See, pride, when we have pride, we begin to see certain people as, and it's even hard to talk this way, but we got to be honest in church. When we have pride, we begin to see other people as inferior. Do you know what it means to be inferior? It means they're lower in rank, they're lower in status. So we put ourselves up here, and we begin to look down in people. We begin to look at them as inferior, lower in rank. And we see this based on several issues. We see this, it could be your belief. Christians, I think we do this a lot. We look down upon other people who don't believe exactly the way we do, and we look at them as they're inferior. Why don't you, how can you miss out that Jesus died for you? How can you miss it? And we look at people based, and we're inferior. We look at them in an inferior way. It could be values. People have different values than you do, so you look upon them as inferior. It could be maybe somebody's not as smart as you. Maybe somebody's not as talented as you. Let's just get real here. Maybe somebody's doesn't have the social status, the wealth that you have. It could be even a level of education. It could be that, why isn't everybody as good looking as me? It could be ethnicity. We look upon people with different skin tones and colors, and we could look at them as inferior. And when you're looking at somebody with inferiority, it's going to be very hard to be approachable. It's going to be very hard to be loving. But it happens all the time. It could be a religion. It could be just about, you name it. It could be anything. Okay? And what pride is saying is pride is saying that others must meet our standard. You need to meet my standard before I'm even going to think about loving you. And I'm starting to shift because I know that I'm guilty. And I thank God for his grace. Aren't you thankful for his grace? And we're a work in progress. And we begin to look at them. If you live up to the way I think you should live, then I'll love you. Because I think if we're honest with ourselves, we need to face the fact and that we think we're superior to others in some way at some point in time, because that's just our nature. I think I'm superior. I may not say it, but believe me, I don't think I've ever said I'm superior to you or to anyone. But maybe in a thought deep back in my brain, that thought has come up. That thought has come up. It's a part of our nature. That's why the single biggest barrier to being approachable is this pride. It causes people to be exclusive instead of everyone being inclusive. Pride. So let's go to the good news. What's the antidote for pride? Does anybody want to take a shot? One word answer? The antidote for pride is this: humility. 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 See, if you go to the origin of that word humility, into its literal origin, that word simply means from the earth. It means to go down to the lowest, go down to that low place, the ground, the earth. In other words, when we're humble, what we're doing is we're stepping off our platform where we're exalting ourselves. We're stepping off our high horse, and we're stepping off into common ground. Common ground. And that's how we need to be. We need to dethrone pride, and we need to walk in humility, walk on the ground that everyone else walks on. Is this making any sense at all this morning? So my question in closing is this: how can you and I become more approachable? Because I really do think you're here in church today because you want to be more like Jesus. And if we're going to be more like Jesus, we're going to be loving. And if we're going to be loving, we're going to be approachable. So how can we be more approachable? How can we be more loving? Well, I love Jesus. He's such a master teacher. He's so full of wisdom. He gives us a one-verse answer. Let's read the verse. If we could put this verse into practice, we're going to be very approachable. This verse is what we call, commonly called, the golden rule. Has anybody ever heard of the golden rule? I want to read it out of the message. I think Eugene Peterson just did a beautiful job of his paraphrase here. He says, here's a simple rule of thumb for behavior. Ask yourself, so when you're approaching somebody, you're just in life, ask yourself what you want people to do for you, how you want people to treat you. Then he says, do this. He says, grab the initiative, and he says, do it for them. Do it for them. So in a nutshell, what I think Jesus is saying here is he's saying, if we want to love like him, if we want to be approachable, a great place for all of us to start is by treating others the same way that we would want to be treated. Just imagine taking that into your marriage. Imagine taking that into your family. Imagine taking that into your workplace. Imagine bringing that into church. So let me ask you a question. How many people here, and I want you to respond, how many people love to be ignored? Is there anybody here I get thrilled when somebody ignores me. Is there anybody here loves to be passed over? Is there anybody here that loves when other people treat them as they're unwanted? Anyone? I'm waiting for a response here, okay? No one's signing up for those things. On the other hand, how many people love when you feel valued? How many people love when you feel wanted, included, spoken to? How many people love when somebody just comes up and they smile? They're saying, hey, I accept you. So here's my challenge this week, is I want to challenge you to go out this week. And when you come into contact with what we call life, with people, and may it start in the lowest, in the closest place, our families. Begin to ask yourself this question. How would I want to be treated? You see somebody sitting alone. You see somebody that's hurting. You see somebody that maybe everybody else says they're an outcast, they're a problem. Maybe you see somebody that doesn't look like you. They're not as talented as you. They don't have the same gifts as you. Maybe it's somebody that maybe they're an atheist. And they even would deny the existence of God. I want to challenge you. And what I want to do in closing, I want to ask you this question. Are you approachable? So just think about that for a minute. Are you approachable? Are you friendly? Are you a listener? Will you talk with other people? Will you make people feel valued, wanted? Are you approachable? And if you want to get really gutty with this sermon, if you want to really take it to the umph degree, I want to challenge you today, even at lunch. You might want to ask your spouse, do you think I'm approachable? I saw that. A couple just looked at each other and smiled, so that's good. Because here's the deal. These are called blind spots. They're called blind spots for a reason. Everybody else sees it but you. So do you have the courage to ask, what do you think? Am I approachable? And then are you open to hear their response? And we're not here to beat each other up. We're here to grow, amen? Aren't we here to grow? And we're here to become more like Jesus. And if somebody points something out, what do you need to do? You need to stop and you need to process it, pray about it. If it's true, we need to get serious about becoming more like Jesus. And we all know that Jesus was full of love. We know that Jesus was approachable. Are you approachable? Are people coming up to you with laughter? Are people feeling free that they can come up and talk to you? And the last thing I want to say this morning as we conclude is this. I want to let you know loud and clear. Is everybody listening? Just lean in just like a half an inch. Just symbol, you're leaning in. Adam, you're leaning in, man. Everybody's leaning in. Okay. How about you guys over here? You're leaning in. I want to let you know this. That Jesus Christ is approachable. Amen? Jesus loves you. He cares about you to the point that he went to a cross and he gave everything, his life, for you. And if you're here today and said, well, you don't know what I've done. You don't know how other people view me, see me. I want to let you know Jesus is approachable and he's just waiting. He's at open arms. He's ready to receive. He's ready to accept you. He's approachable. And I want to let you know his arms are wide open for you and all we need to do is simply come and say, Lord, thank you. So I want to encourage you today. Maybe no one else in your life is approachable. Maybe everybody else has cast you aside, kicked you to the curb. I want to let you know Jesus loves you. He's approachable to you today, right where you're at, right here at this moment. You don't have to go and say, okay, this week I'm going to read my Bible 6 days, and then Jesus will accept me. No, he's approachable today. You say, well, you don't even know what I did last night. Last night, me and my wife got in a big fight. Well, we didn't, but I'm just saying a story, okay? But you know what? We all mess up. We all need grace, don't we? And I just want to encourage you, just see Jesus. Let's get the proper view of Jesus, that he's approachable. It says in 1 Peter 5:7 that we can cast all of our cares upon him because he cares for us. And whatever you're going through in your life, there's one that you can go to 100% of the time. And he's ready to meet you. It says if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. Somebody interpret that verse to mean if we'll take one step towards Jesus, he'll take 2 steps towards us. And I want to let you know, I think I'm speaking specifically to a couple people. Jesus is approachable to you, and he loves you, and he cares for you. Amen? So my goal this week is let's go out and love those who Jesus loves. So can we all pray together? Let's all bow our heads and pray. So Jesus, we just thank you, Lord, that you're the ultimate, you're the epitome of love. And we just thank you that we can always come to you and you're approachable, you're ready to receive us as your own. And we just thank you, Lord, that you are such an amazing friend. You're a wonderful Savior, a wonderful King. And we just thank you for that today. And Lord, as we go this today, may we be open and loving and approachable to those that you place in our path this week. May people know that they can come and they can talk, and that people know that they're accepted, that we're accessible. And Lord, help us to grow in this area, we pray. Lord, if there's something you want to point out to us, we just pray that we would have ears to hear, that we would feel that check in our spirit. And Lord, that we would be approachable. Just the thought that came in my mind, parents, dads, let's talk dads right now. Dads, we got to be approachable to our kids. I'm sure there's days where Nolan will tell you that I'm not approachable. But you know what? We just need to just continue. We're a work. We don't live in condemnation. Amen? Guilt's not going to get us anywhere. We got to live with this thought that the next time, the next opportunity, today is the day that you've given me. Lord, I'm going to be more loving. I'm going to be approachable. Dad, we want our kids coming to us. They shouldn't have to go other places. They need to come to us. Same is true of us as mothers. And we pray these things, and everyone said, Amen.